Our scripture reading this morning is Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. I would ask you to turn there in your pew Bibles or in your home Bibles and read silently while I read aloud. If you're following us on the pew Bible, it's on page 735. Again, it's Luke 10, verses 25 to 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus said. Jesus replied, "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out two silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." May the Lord add his blessing to this, the reading of his holy word. This morning, as we continue to follow Jesus through the Jewish countryside and onto the cross, we come to an interaction which may be the most familiar of all of Jesus's interactions. Based on the question of a religious leader, Jesus shares what we know as the parable of the Good Samaritan. Because of its familiarity, we might miss the impact of the parable. With our present-day sensibilities, a good Samaritan is the hero. A good Samaritan is the good guy. He is a welcome sight if we're stranded on the side of the road or if we are in trouble. We even have in Massachusetts what is called the Good Samaritan Law, which protects from prosecution those who call 911 to report medical emergencies due to criminal activity, such as drug use. But in Jesus's day, Good Samaritan would have been an oxymoron, a phrase composed of opposites. No one among Jesus' audience would have comprehended a scenario where a Samaritan was good or that the good person was a Samaritan. They just don't go together. But before we look at the parable and why Jesus taught it, we should look at the context of this illustrative and countercultural story. And to do that, we need to know that Luke records a good question rightly answered. It all starts with a good question. What can I do to inherit eternal life? Literally, what is done that I inherit eternal life? It's a topic of debate among Jewish leaders of that day. Why? Because the Bible is clear that those who are righteous inherit eternal life. Psalm 37, verse 18, the days of the blameless are known to the Lord, and their inheritance will endure forever. Daniel 12, 2, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. It is clear that God is going to give the righteous an inheritance of eternal life. What is unclear, and thus why this Jewish leader, this expert in the law, comes before Jesus, and it says, in order to test him, comes before him and says, listen, I want to know what you think. What is it that makes a person righteous or blameless? What is it that makes us able to inherit eternal life? The man is asking, how would you say, what would you say is the way to know the future? Jesus, instead of answering, as he does so many times, he asks a question of the person. You are an expert of the law. How do you understand the law? How do you read the law? What does the Old Testament say? Well, the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 6:5 says, love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And in Leviticus 19:18, it says, love your neighbor as yourself. And so when the expert of the law says, these are the two core beliefs, love God with your whole self and love your neighbor as you would yourself, Jesus says, you have answered correctly. When you demonstrate love vertically and horizontally with your whole self, you will inherit eternal life. Jesus' positive response leads to many questions. We can ask Jesus, what does it mean to love God with all our mind, soul, strength, and heart? What does it mean to love our neighbor as ourselves? But that's not the question the expert in the law asks. We can know that we are heirs to eternal life by loving God and loving others. And in a few weeks, in a few verses later, Jesus will unpack and we'll look at what love looks like relative to our relationship with God. But in this passage, we begin to see what love looks like when we love others. The beginning of understanding this parable of the Good Samaritan is that it is based on the presumption that we are going to love our neighbors as ourselves. But the expert in the law gets sidetracked. This question, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus' answer raises a common temptation. Luke records a good question rightly answered, but this question raises a common temptation. Verse 29, but he wanted to justify himself. He wanted himself declared right. He wanted to think that he was righteous. We all wrestle with seeking to justify ourselves. We all want to prove ourselves and our actions as right. We all want to limit the scope of the scriptures so that we can declare that we fulfill them. And that's all that this expert in the law is doing. Are there people that are non-neighbors, he asks. Who's my neighbor? And by extension, who's not my neighbor? Are there people that I don't have to love? Are there people that I'm required to love? That's the question he asks. And that's the question we ask ourselves. We need to resist the urge to think that we are doing enough. That we know enough. That we have condensed the requirements of the scriptures to a conceivably possible list of actions that we can say we can accomplish. Because there is always more to know about God. And there is always more to do for God. And so as we turn the page to Jesus answering the deeper question of what it means to love our neighbor as ourselves, because it is asked, who is my neighbor? And Jesus, knowing the heart of this expert in the law, knowing he wanted to justify himself, knowing he wanted Jesus to say, whatever that man thought was right. We all want to consider ourselves right, to having done enough. We contribute to causes and we offer aid to those who we know have pressing needs. We care. We want Jesus to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Now enjoy your rest. But do we care as fully as God desires? And so Jesus, after the question, after the temptation, Jesus responds with a well-known parable. And we're going to spend just a moment here because we know the story. The story is this. A man is going from Jerusalem to Jericho. A 7-mile walk. Rugged terrain. Difficult terrain. And while he is walking that 7 miles from Jerusalem to Jericho, he falls in amongst robbers who strip him, who beat him, and who leave him for half dead. At some point, a priest walks by and chooses to walk by on the opposite side. And then a Levite walks by. The same thing walks by on the other side. And then a Samaritan walks by. And as I said, there's nothing good going to happen when a Samaritan shows up. But the Samaritan takes care of the man, brings him to an inn, pays for the inn, pays for anything else. So let's ask the question, who is my neighbor? Are our neighbors those who we are in proximity to? Are those that are close to us. Oftentimes when we think of our neighbors, we think of those we live near. Is that what Jesus meant by love your neighbor as yourself? Is that what Leviticus, when Moses wrote in Leviticus 19, did he mean love those who are property abutters? It is not closeness geographically that makes us a neighbor. The priest and the Levite came from Jerusalem, the same place where the man came from. The Samaritan. And what's interesting is that Jesus does not create the parable to say it wasn't the priest or the Levite. It was an ordinary, everyday Jerusalemite. Just a lay Jerusalemite. That would have been interesting. Sometimes we get lost in the details and say, no, it's not the super religious. And this is a parable about religious versus spiritual versus any number of different things. No. This is hyperbolic. These are the elite of Jerusalem. And he could have said, an ordinary Jerusalemite might have done something differently. But he doesn't. He says that a Samaritan, someone from a different place, wasn't his home. We don't know why that man was going to or from Jerusalem. It doesn't even say what direction he's coming from. It wasn't proximity. Well, maybe they were close theologically. Maybe that's what makes us a neighbor. People who believe things about God that we believe about God. Well, the priest and the Levite contemplated uncleanliness. That they thought, what should I do to maintain the law? What must I do to maintain the scriptures? What must I do to maintain my integrity amongst the people of God? And the Samaritan, who would have been considered unclean by most who heard this, contemplated the need. So it isn't that we ought to be neighbors to those who are theologically compatible. Maybe it's closeness in culture that makes us neighbors. Well, the priest and the Levite shared the same ethnic history with the man. But the Samaritan of mixed ethnicity, Samaritans were considered mixed, that they were part of the Jewish nation, the nation of Israel, but then they intermarried with the people of the land. And so those that were in Jerusalem and the Jewish leaders of that day said, you are not us. You are them. The Samaritan had no history. His family would have had no history with this man. And then Jesus says, who is the neighbor? Who is the neighbor? Which one of these three is the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And the expert in the law answers, the one who had mercy on the man. The one who had mercy was the neighbor. The one who loved his neighbor. That was the initial question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Love your neighbor as yourself. And who did that? The one who had mercy. The priest and the Levite passed by on the other side. Now, this is not one of our highways where, there's a far distance and a danger that I have to walk. No, this is a path. This is a road. This is a horse path or a walkway, a mountain pass. It was intentional. I am going to make sure I give a wide berth to this situation. Maybe it was out of preservation for self because the robbers might be near. Maybe it was because of uncleanliness. All we know is that they chose not to act. They chose not to be the neighbor in Jesus' story. The Samaritan did not pass by. And it's important to notice that he personally meets the immediate needs. He himself binds the wounds. He himself pours out the wine and the oil. He himself sets this man on a donkey, on an animal, pack animal. He himself leads that pack animal to an inn. He himself talks to the innkeeper. He himself provides for the immediate need. But then he also financially meets the ongoing need of shelter and support. It's both. How do we love our neighbor? How do we become a neighbor like Jesus wants us to be? By doing what we can to meet the immediate needs and then also providing for the ongoing needs as we are able. Jesus answers the question, who is my neighbor, with this concept? My neighbor is anyone I see with a need I can meet. Jesus eliminates every excuse. Because this man who fell among the hands of the robbers was in the roadway, not in my house. I can't say, well, they're outside. If it were in my house, I would understand that I would have to do something. But they, maybe they deserved it. They should have known the risks. It's their fault. Jesus eliminates that excuse. It would have tarnished my reputation to approach them. No. It tarnished the reputation of the priest and Levite that Jesus used them in this account that has gone on and been used right to this very day. You go down in history, you don't want to be the priest and the Levite in this story. Their reputation was ruined because they did nothing. I don't know them. I don't know their story. Doesn't make a difference. The Samaritan didn't know that man. The Samaritan didn't know their story, and he acted anyway. Jesus tells us that we are to love those around us without regard for familiarity. Our sermon in a sentence is this: loving neighbors show mercy, not just share history. Mercy is simply treating people better than their actions deserve. When we act in mercy, we disregard whatever offense we may assume and act anyway. When we are merciful, it's not that we say, this person is awful, but I'm going to act anyway. When we act in mercy, we say, whether or not this person is awful makes no difference. I'm going to do what is right anyway. Mercy is treating people better than their actions deserve. Whether we know what their actions are, or we can assume what their actions are, or we are creating straw arguments and straw men and saying, This person is a terrible human being. Doesn't matter. Treat him with mercy. Anyway. We have this same scripture that the expert of the law had. We have heard the same parable that the expert in the law heard. And we are told, just like the expert in the law, go and do likewise. Now, we have no idea how the expert in the law responded. Maybe he did go and do likewise. Maybe he didn't. Makes no, never mind. This story has been passed on now through written word so that we can hear, so that we can go and do likewise. That we can have mercy toward those in trouble, whether we know them or not. We can respond to the needs of those around us as an heir to eternal life and love our neighbors as ourselves. Loving neighbors show mercy, not just share history. Shall we pray?